Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ be unto you now and forevermore. Amen. I'm not sure where I read it, but someone wrote that the Gospel of John is so shallow that a child could wade in it, but so deep that an elephant would drown in it, that it has layers and layers within layers. So the challenge is to hear the message beneath the message. We have come to a time when Jesus has once again returned to the temple, December, the cold time of the year, and he is on the leeward side where it's a little bit easier to deal with the elements. And that's where most of the people gather then as they approach the temple. And they're celebrating the anniversary of the renewal of the temple, the cleansing of the temple. So after it had been taken by others and they had put their own idols and gods throughout, now it was again purified, and they are celebrating that God is in his house and they are still his people. Not too long ago in our liturgical year, we heard Jesus say that he came to bring life and to bring it abundantly. And yet, what do we hear from the people who challenge him? The Greek might suggest, how long will you take away our life? As opposed to, how long will you continue to annoy us or test our patience? How long will you take away our life? How long, for those who were trying to believe, must we leave everything that we knew? Our homes, our families, our belongings, our jobs, our status in the community, our relationship in the synagogue, just to follow you in the hopes that you are indeed the King of Kings. Because, of course, if you are, then that means, for us, you get rid of the Romans. You are now the warrior king and keep all of the other nations away and let us be the rulers of the known world. We therefore get the riches and the power. You do away with illness and death and famine. And you let us enjoy life as your people. And then there are those who have been trying to kill him for some time now because he blasphemes. God has said that I am one, and Jesus says, God and I are one. And to boot, what does he do? He associates with people clearly God has put a thumb on and said, you are sinners and evil, and you deserve to be punished by illness, by difficulties, by death. He touches them. He eats with them. He raises them from the dead, and worse yet, he does it on the Sabbath. Give us a little bit more rope to hang you. Tell us again, you are the Messiah. It would seem that Jesus is much more than a mild irritant, and that those who hear his message and declare him as Messiah have a great deal to lose. Even the parents of the blind man are afraid to say publicly, this is our King, the promised one, the Messiah, despite what they have seen, because they know the punishment that would ensue. How often will they listen but not hear? How often will they listen and demand the answers that they want to hear? And how different is that from us? The author of the book, The Five Gospels, advises, beware of finding a Jesus entirely congenial to you. We should expect God in the flesh to surprise us, to say things that we don't expect, that might even annoy, irritate, and challenge us. I remember quite clearly one of the seminarians in my class, I think it was 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when I was in seminary. We had been going through an entire day of things like systematic theology and Lutheran confessions and exegesis and on and on and on. At the end of the day, in the last class, when the professor started to speak, he put his hands over his ears and yelled, "Stop! You're taking away my Jesus." He had a comfortable view, a familiar view of Jesus. And as he heard things that challenged that, not only was he not ready, he didn't want any part of it. To hear Jesus proclaim himself as Messiah, as God with us, to say, "Yes, I believe," had consequences. Jesus says, even now, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." What do we do with people who come to our door today and knock? Do we run to the door, throw it wide open, and say, "Welcome, come in"? Do we pretend we don't hear it? Do we turn up the volume on a stereo TV? Stereo, I'm dating myself, right? Do we simply tell them, "Go away"? We have the same choices when our Savior comes and knocks on the door to our heart. To believe is to know the voice of God. As a pastor, as a chaplain, I've always tried to know my people well enough so when the phone rings at 2 a.m. and I hear a sob, I have an idea who it is. Or as they're walking at some distance and I notice a change in posture, not only do I know who it is, but have some inkling of what's going on. Or if they fail to heed my welcome, I might have an idea that the intrusive thoughts are getting the best of them today. But how much more of a shepherd is our God? He knows our voices, our needs, but he wants an intimate enough relationship with us where we can pick his voice out of all of the others. How many voices demand our attention day after day? Is it spouse, children, in-laws? Is it work? Is it the push to make money now while we can and invest for the future? Is it the voice inside that says you're nothing unless you are something for someone else? Is it the tape that plays that says we are so evil we can't be loved? Is it the illness that causes us to dread tomorrow? so many voices with which God must compete. To hear his voice means that we listen to Jesus who says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And if you are going to be my disciples, then you must take up your cross and follow me." James and John didn't hear that. They're asking, "Can one of us be on your left and one of us be on your right when you come into your kingdom?" The power of positive thinking, the possibility thinking, the power of faith movement are not on the side of the cross that tells us we too must go to Gethsemane. The Jesus we follow speaks to the sorrows that we bear. When no one else can respond to that in a way that makes a difference, he is there. When it seems like no matter how hard we try, we just cannot get ahead, we were promised that everything is ours in Christ, and he will take care of the big things. Jesus said to them, "If you're not going to listen to my words, look at my actions." What does that tell you? Reminds me of a young evangelist who went among the Amish and got to this farmer and asked him, "Are you saved? Is Jesus Christ your Lord?" And he said, "Why are you asking me? I can tell you anything. Here's a list: my banker, my grocer, my farmhands. Ask them if I belong to Jesus Christ." We want to be careful, as Lutherans, that we don't get too involved in works righteousness. But how else do we live our faith than by sharing the good news, often in what we do? Recently, we had a youth group from a Lutheran church in Wisconsin. Mary heard me talk about it a little bit yesterday. They came over to Wounded Warriors, we're hosting them, because they wanted to say thank you to the Lutheran church in a small way. So they asked the youth group, "So what are Lutherans?" And they did their best, remembering from their catechism what Lutherans were about. But then one of the Marines said, "Let me tell you what Lutherans are." Didn't know anything about them till I got here. But these are the people who show up when nobody else does. These are the people who are there when there's a helicopter crash, or people die in an Osprey, or a family has a child born or a child die. They're there in regular times providing meals for us at the barracks. But more importantly, whenever we're around them, we know that we are loved for who we are, accepted just as we are, and we're not there to be a notch in their Bible. That's who Lutherans are. At least the Lutherans here. How different is that? Do you remember, some of us lived through the 70s when posters were a big deal? Had them everywhere. One of the ones you're probably sorry I took down was the one that used to be in my office as a pastor of a congregation, a pastor preaching and Jesus asleep in the pew. It encouraged me all the time to work a little harder on those sermons. Maybe it needs to go back up. But there was also a series of posters by Bob Rowland called Listen Christian. And under each picture was a comment. And here they are together. Listen, Christian, I was hungry, and you formed the Humanities Club and discussed my hunger. Thank you. I was imprisoned, and you crept off quietly to your chapel and prayed for my release. I was naked, and in your mind you debated the morality of my appearance. I was sick, and you knelt and thanked God for your health. I was homeless, and you preached to me of the spiritual shelter of the love of God. I was lonely, and you left me alone to pray for me. You seem so holy, so close to God, but I'm still very hungry and lonely and cold. Christ again says to us, I am the Messiah, I am the shepherd, and you are my sheep. Hear the voice of the Spirit with your heart and your mind as well as your ears, and let the Spirit lead you to be the children of God. Amen. The peace which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.